Once again, if your Bible here, we are continuing in Mark, beginning with Mark 13. We'll be reading together verses 1 through 13. Chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. The congregation, again, this is God's word. As he was going out to the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Teacher, behold, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left upon another which will not be torn down." As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew were questioning him privately. "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are going to be fulfilled?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See to it that no one misleads you. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and will mislead many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be frightened. Those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places. There will also be famines. These things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you to the courts, and you will be flogged in the synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them. The gospel must first be preached to all the nations. When they arrest you and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but it is the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved." Well, we've read that 15 verses. It will take us a little bit longer to really tell us about the question concerning the end of the world. It will take to four sermons. And so will be the rest of the entire chapter. So that's, you know, two for February and even time for March too, I guess. So here we go with Mark 13. Beloved, here is God's word. There's a question that people have sought much time and much energy wondering about. That question is the question concerning the end of the world. When will that be? Wouldn't it be nice if we had the answer to that question so that we could say with definite finality, the world will end on such and such a date? It is no wonder that the disciples asked Jesus about this very thing, the question concerning the end of the world. Well, we're still looking to 3 points. Number one, this afternoon, we're looking at this text in three heads. Number one, understanding the question. Secondly, the beginning of birth pang. And thirdly, the first real signs. Well, here we are. We're up to number one. Number one is understanding the question, and we're looking now in verses 1 through 4. You must understand the context of this text. Now, this context is quite clear. What Jesus said in Matthew 23, verses 37 and 38, quote, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to hear. How often I wondered to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under his wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. This was Jesus' pronouncement of judgment on Israel, Jerusalem, and the temple. The question arose out of a discussion about the temple, as the parallel passage in Mark 11, verse 5 says, quote, "While some were talking about the temple, that it was adorned with beautiful stones and votive gifts," we believe that there was a symbolic gesture in verse 1 in this text, and that is, it was a disciple of Jesus who brought up the topic under discussion, and it says, quote, "And as he was going out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, 'Teacher, behold, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings!' The magnificence, the grandeur of the temple spoke of its abiding presence." That is, they all were certain that that temple would exist as long as the world itself exists. In the next verse of this text, Jesus clearly told them of its coming instruction. That is, in verse 2, quote, "And Jesus said to him, 'Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left upon another which will not be torn down.'" Now, in this passage, the disciples felt a certain confusion. The disciples had asked Jesus concerning what he had just taught them in verse 4, quote, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things are going to be fulfilled?" Those disciples still believed that Jerusalem and the temple would last as long as the world lasts. The full question that they asked is given in the parallel passage in Matthew 24, verse 3, quote, "As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign for your coming and of the end of the age?'" You see, they really did believe that their question was a simple, single question, because they believed that the temple would remain again as long as the earth remained. In this text, that was spoken of is seen as a single event, since the second coming was not even mentioned. Once again, in Matthew 24, verse 3, the question was stated in its more complete form. Those disciples were confused. Surely, they thought destruction of that glorious temple could only be at the end of the world. Later on, Jesus divided disciples' single question into two questions. Now, this is the pivotal verse in this passage. You must understand the dual nature of the complete question and know that the answer of Jesus answered it as a two questions, not as just one question. Many, if not so, commentators today see the whole passage as a confusing jumble, so that there is no confusion here today. I'll tell you how this passage can be cleared up, I believe. That passage in verse Luke only deals with the first part of the question, but the other two parallel passages make the dividing point between the two questions perfectly clear. Now, this text clearly states that first question in verse 30, quote, "Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. And in Matthew 24:34, it says, "Truly I say to you, this question will not pass away until all these things take place." Those verses mean simply and exactly what they say about, quote, "this generation will not pass away." Everything before these verses is referring, once again, to the destruction of Jerusalem, and everything about those verses is referring to the second coming of Jesus. That is not what most who are involved in the study of prophecy teach today. But I believe that the scriptures are very simple and very clear at this point. It is only if you interpret these passages from a particular theological bias that confusion is introduced. Well, that's the first point. Here's the second. And the second point says, the beginning of birth pangs. Once again, we're now looking in verses 5 through 8. Now, this text tells us that Jesus gave a stern warning. Now, verse 5 said, quote, "And Jesus began to say to them, see to it that no one misleads you. Many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will mislead many." Many people have an insatiable appetite to know the future. Mystics, palm readers, and psychics make good real money paying on that desire. Be careful that you are not misled about these things. In their desire to know, even many biblical teachers have been misled. Jesus clearly warns us, do not be misled. Now, in this text, there are several non-signs, so to go. Now, in this parallel passage, Jesus make it clear that he was talking about the destruction of the temple. We're looking now in Luke 28, verse 8, quote, "For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time is at hand. Do not go after them." In this verse, Jesus tied together the idea of false Christs and the teaching that the time was at hand. Not many today are saying, I am the Christ. Between 3 AD and about 70 AD, however, many came claiming to be the Messiah. Many of the Jews were being misled. Notice in verse 7 said that the destruction of the temple was not in the end of the world. Quote, "When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be frightened. These things must take place, but that is not yet the end." Notice, that is not yet the end. This has been a biggie throughout the 20th century. Now also even into the 21st century. With every war, both world wars and the localized wars, the teachers of prophecy have declared that that was the sign that the second coming of Jesus was in the next event in the history of the world. Notice, however, that Jesus said that when, quote, "these things happened, the end is not yet," meaning the end of the world is not yet. Remember that in this passage it is clear that he was only speaking about the destruction of the temple of Jerusalem and Jewish organization. Notice that in all three of the passages, quote, "wars and rumors of wars must take place." But in each case, Jesus said that that was not the end of this age or the end of the world. There have been wars and rumors of wars throughout history, That certainly have not been a sign of the second coming of Jesus. Remember that for years the Romans had presided over the Pax Romana throughout the empire. That is, they had enforced a Roman peace on the conquered world. Therefore, that there would be wars and rumors of wars before the destruction of the temple was most certainly a striking sign. But notice once again that once of the three parallel passage states that that is not yet the end of the age. It was a sign of the coming destruction of the temple for the Jews and for the Christians who were being persecuted by the Jews and even by the Romans. Now, this text continues now in verse 8, quote, "For nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will also be famines. These things are merely the beginning of the birth pangs." Notice, the beginning of birth pangs. This is what Luke wrote again in Acts 11, verse 28, quote, "And one of them, named Agabus, stood up and began to indicate by the Spirit that there would certainly be a great famine all over the world. And this took place in the reign of Claudius." Certainly, there were many earthquakes just previous to 70 AD. It was even a fact mentioned by circular writers. Back up. Crete, Smyrna, Miletus, Chios, Laodicea, Hierapolis, Colossus, Rome, Judea, and Pompeii is a very incomplete list of the places that earthquakes happened between this prophecy in 70 AD. These things are often cited as the signs of the times indicating that the second coming of Jesus is near at hand. Now, all these things were birth pangs, as Jordan, when shall these things, that is, the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple and the casting down of the stones of the temple, happen? We have seen the pivotal verses in the parallel passages. Jesus was warning of the judgment coming on Jerusalem for its unbelief and its rejection of the Messiah. Beloved, it happened just as he said it would. Final judgment is indeed coming, because all of Jehovah God's word is true. Beloved, every person here believes in Jesus Christ, and that you may serve and glorify Jesus with all your heart and with all of your mind and with all of your strength. Amen. Let's pray. Father, from this passage, there are many signs about the destruction of the temple, about the destruction of Jerusalem, and about the destruction of the organized Jewish religion. But Father, the day of the end of the world is coming. Help us to understand the word of Jesus, that Jesus is coming again someday. Amen. Take the hymnal.